be with you.
And also with you.
We have, the ladies are marking some of the hymnals. I don't know which ones are marked yet. They're doing it at both churches. But when they have this cross, is that what we're putting on?
A triangle.
When there's a triangle by a verse, that is letting you know that this is a Trinitarian verse. And since we're talking, or we're proclaiming the Trinity in our song, we rise in honor of the Trinity. Now, if it happens to be during a communion hymn, we still rise. Okay? And then you can sit back down. Please rise, we begin singing our first hymn.
I will confess my transgression.
possessions unto the Lord. Announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the helper of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies.
In your faithfulness, put an end to them.
O God, save me by your name.
And vindicate me by your might.
O God, hear my prayer.
Give ear to the words of my mouth.
For strangers have arisen against me. Ruthless men seek my life.
They do not set God before themselves.
For he has delivered me from every trouble.
And my eyes.
Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies.
In your faithfulness, put an end to them.
Thank you.
Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to my prayers of your humble servants, so that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Last week we started the seventh commandment. Why are earthly goods, such as money and possessions, important? They are the gifts by which God provides for our own and our neighbor's needs and the enjoyment of life. Psalm 104. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. From Proverbs 14. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Then they'd like you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 about the collection of money for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. How do we fear and love God in keeping the seventh commandment? We fear and love God by not taking God's earthly gifts from our neighbor in such ways as stealing our neighbor's possessions and money. John 12. Judas said this, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bank, he used to help himself to what was put into it. By being lazy or sloppy when working as employees. Ephesians 4. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Then they'd like you to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Acquiring goods by dishonesty, fraud, or taking advantage of others. Psalm 37. The wicked borrows, but he does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. Then read about the false measurements in Leviticus 19 and about trickery in 2 Kings 5. We fear and love God by looking after our neighbor's well-being, by helping to protect and improve our neighbor's earthly possessions. Exodus 22. If a man borrows anything of his neighbor, and it is injured or dies, the owner not being with it, he shall make full restitution, income and livelihood. Philippians 2. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Exodus 23. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. Then they ask you to also read Genesis 13, Genesis 14, and Deuteronomy 22. Our Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Trinity is from the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel, beginning with verse 26. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you shall show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes his feet like the feet of deer, and sets my feet on high places. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth, beginning with verse 6. Now these things become our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overcome you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, you will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have also resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward, because he dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful in also much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Heareth our gospel reading.
Thank you.
Our sermon is based off our gospel reading, more specifically the 13th verse. And the theme is, make unrighteous mammon holy by how you use it. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this reading from Jesus clearly teaches you against greed. Now, greed is forbidden in the 9th and 10th commandments. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The prohibition to covet is often looked at as the least of God's commands being tagged at the very end of the Decalogue. However, Jesus' warning against greed is nothing short of a warning against breaking the greatest commandment God gives. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And in this first commandment, this greatest commandment, you're given the meaning of the first commandment. That you shall have no other gods before me. How do you have other gods before the Lord God? By loving the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Dear saints in Christ, Martin Luther correctly teaches in his large catechism concerning the first commandment, whatever you fear, love, and trust in most is your God. Still, most people don't think this way, but it is true. Most Christians figure out that if they aren't worshiping a golden statue or praying in a mosque to Muhammad, then they are obeying the first and greatest commandment. There is also another false god that has far more followers than any other idol. Mammon. Mammon is an Aramaic word for worldly possessions and money. Aramaic was Jesus' mother tongue. You know, Mammon has far more devotees than any other religion in the world because people from all walks of life around the world serve Mammon. They fear, love, and trust in Mammon above all things. People believe that if you have enough money, then you will be secure and safe. It's really just simple mathematics. And Mammon is such a persuasive god. I mean, people sacrifice their time, friends, spouses, children, even their bodies to obtain more money. And the only thing money will buy perishes. So then what does Jesus tell? Why does he tell a parable where the main character is commended for his unwavering devotion to mammon? The master commended the unrighteous manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with your own generation than the sons of light. Now, Jesus does not tell you this parable so that you will cheat, lie, or steal to gain more money like the manager. Rather, Jesus shames you as Christians for being less diligent toward God than the mammon worshippers are towards theirs. St. Paul also warns you in his first letter to the Christians in Corinth. Now, these things happen to them as an example, but they are written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. You see, you live in an urgent time. Christ will return like a thief in the night and judge everyone, the living and the dead. And on that day, you will face eternity. And you need to be ready. Still, you're lazy. You slack off, as if you have all the time in the world. Christians, for the most part, don't take their devotion to Christ as seriously as those who worship the creation. You see, the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with this generation than the sons of light, to your shame. So what shall you sad Christians do in response to this embarrassing rebuke? Jesus says, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. So is Jesus telling you to cheat your employers and use bribes, so that you will receive you into their homes as the manager, as the parable did? Absolutely not. Jesus is not telling you to cheat and bribe the rich so that you can benefit here on earth. He tells you to make friends by means of unrighteous mammon so that you may be welcomed into the eternal dwellings. The rich can't give you eternal dwellings, no matter how much you suck up to them. And you can't buy these eternal dwellings no matter how much money you scourge. Mammon isn't in and of itself bad. It's just unrighteous, because it can't give you eternal life. But mammon, like all creation, is a gift from God. All things are made holy by the word of God and prayer. Nevertheless, nothing in creation should be the object of your worship. Not even your father, mother, son, daughter, or spouse. Still, all these things and people can be used for service in the kingdom of God. By telling you to make friends with unrighteous mammon, Jesus is telling you not to have mammon as your God, but rather to make mammon your servant, and as such, a servant of the kingdom of heaven. Now there's a big difference between serving mammon and having mammon serve you. You see, mammon is a terrible master. It is a cruel God. Mammon is unforgiving. It is unmerciful. It'll betray you to your worst enemy. And it demands complete devotion your entire life. And then it just abandons you when you die. And still you see people racing after it all around you, bowing to it, slaving for it. Children don't know their fathers because their fathers devote all their time searching for money. Whereas children don't know their heavenly father, because their parents search for money instead of teaching them about Jesus. Money for bicycles, sports, camps, vacations, fancy clothes. Money to give them the best life they can live here on this sinful earth. But remember that money can't buy you Jesus. It can't buy you his forgiveness. Serving mammon is slavery, which only leads to death. However, serving God is freedom, which leads you to eternal life. And with such freedom, you can make mammon your servant. This is what Jesus is telling you to do. Make friends with the unrighteous mammon. Make the mammon holy by how you use it. You do this by recognizing that all you have, from your head to your toes, from your bank account to your coin purse, is completely from God. He has given you all that you need in this life. It belongs to Him. And as a free child of God, you use all that you have, your skills, your time, and your money in God's service. All you do as a Christian should be in love toward God and service toward your neighbor. Now, who will welcome you into the eternal dwelling? Well, those who are your fellow Christians. Jesus says in a familiar end times reading from chapter 25 of Matthew, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. It is the least of Jesus' brothers who will welcome you into the eternal kingdom. Christians, whom you have served in this life with unrighteous mammon, made holy by being put to work by free children of God. Now, of course, you can't look at people and know whether they will join you in the heavenly bliss. And God commands you to love even your enemies and to pray for them. Nevertheless, it is clear how Jesus wants you to treat your fellow lambs. He wants you to care for them. He wants you to watch out for their needs. He wants you to be generous. He wants you to feed, clothe, and help the poor. Support the preaching of the gospel in missions. What does God want you to do with mammon he has given you? Do you think he might want you to use it as an instrument to grow his church? God wants you to be generous with those in need, especially those within the household of God. That is how you make friends with unrighteous mammon. Friends with those who welcome you into the eternal dwellings. Now the manager and the reading was really quite clever, no doubt about it. But he had something going for him that was essential to the success of his scheme. His master was very generous, and he wanted everyone to know that he was generous. I mean, he didn't rescind his manager's adjustments to his debtor's debt because he wanted all his debtors to believe that he was generous. He was even more generous enough to give his manager time to cheat him instead of throwing him into prison immediately. You are all managers of what you have. You really don't own it. God does. You're stewards of God's gifts. God is generous. He will take care of you. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added to you. God will feed you and clothe you. He'll provide you with all that you need to support this body and life. He wants you to believe that he is generous. He wants you to be generous with what he entrusts to you. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is unrighteous in a very little is also unrighteous in much. If then you have not been faithful in an unrighteous wealth, we'll entrust you to the true riches. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Mammon is a very little thing. No matter how much you get, it's just unrighteous wealth. But Jesus does have true riches for you. And he even is more generous with his true riches. And God wants you to be generous with your unrighteous wealth, making friends with those you will see in heaven, with Christ Jesus, what he has won for you, true riches. He wants you to be generous with true riches in the form of the forgiveness of sins, which you receive through Jesus' word and sacraments from Jesus' cross. God's greatest generosity is seen where Jesus sheds his innocent blood for sinners. Through faith in Christ, you have riches that cannot be measured upon earth. And as you have been given these riches freely, so Christ wants you to give freely as well, by forgiving others, putting the best construction on things, and not getting unreasonably angry, by sharing Christ's love through patience and through sharing the gospel. Dear saints in Christ, you can't buy eternal life with money. Neither can you earn it with generosity towards others. But if you trust in Jesus through faith, you are free to lord over unrighteous wealth for the benefit of the kingdom, which you will inherit. Do not become a slave to mammon, because Christ has set you free to be a child and an heir of his kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father,
You have shown mercy to us poor sinners. Lead us to acknowledge your mercy with gratitude, that in turn we may be quick to show mercy to others. Give us a right understanding of our own weakness and frailty. Preserve us from pride and lead us instead to cling to Christ and his forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you entrust to your people the abundant wealth of Christ's salvation in your word and sacraments. Bless pastors that they may be faithful stewards in these mysteries. And grant that your people would make proper use of your means of grace and rejoice in your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, of all, you bestow your riches upon all who call upon you. Bless parents with all wisdom as they teach their children your ways, that in all the households may confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you save the humble people. Your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. Give true wisdom to the people of our nation and humility to those who act and decide for our governance. And let the lamp of your perfect word enlighten their faith and deeds. We also ask that you watch over, guard, and protect our servicemen and women, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Steve and Caitlin continually by your word and spirit that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they've been called, boldly confess their Savior, and share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful Lord, preserve those who are suffering temptation and any kind of affliction, especially Carol, Steve, Alice, Kathy, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Robin, Roger, Deb, Robin, Mary, Bobby, Billy, Carol, and the Clap Baby. Make clear to them the way of escape, that they may be able to endure and stand firm through faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, give true repentance and faith to those who commune this day, that they may eat the very body of Christ and blood, drink his blood for the forgiveness of their sins and the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have blessed us bountifully and given us daily bread. We implore you, preserve us from all covetousness and enliven our hearts to share your gifts willingly with our brothers in need, that we may be found faithful stewards of your gifts and abide in your grace when we are removed from our stewardship and come into your judgment through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. You're seven.
Thank you.
thanks unto the Lord our God. We should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, our Lamb of God,
eat. This is the true body of Christ, given at the death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given at the death for your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. In this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep in your baptismal grace. Please rise.
That of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord. Gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give.